I was hoping to keep it quiet about me speaking this morning, but I looked at the attendance and I'm pretty sure word got out. This morning, I was encouraged, though, that Melissa's parents apparently drove all the way from Oregon just to hear me. Some of you don't think that was the only reason they came, but before I start, I do want to share a couple of things. Man, I love you guys. What an awesome body of believers God has given us. I appreciate you. I know we're only about, it looks like about three quarters here this morning, but anyway, we had a hole over here for quite a while, but Rich and Joyce filled it again this morning, and we are delighted that they're here. Do you know the ministry, and I am so grateful to hear Carl's name mentioned with the ministry now all the time. And someday I won't be able to do this at all, and he'll be taking over. In the meantime, he's agreed to share it with me. But you know, that ministry is really a team effort. I've said that before, but this body here, Grove, what a great group of folks you are. And you have blessed us and helped us over and over again. Many of you are baking cakes for Thursday evening. I want to thank you for that. We will need help setting up Wednesday evening, after the prayer service. If some of you are able to do that, we would appreciate it on Thursday night after the dinner. If some of you would be willing to help take care of things and clean up, I would greatly appreciate it. If you would like to help out and be a part of that, would you mention that to Carl this morning? Just let him know that we can count on you to be a part of that effort. We would appreciate it. I think we also need about 30 chairs brought up from the basement, placed on the south wall of the big room at this service. And if you would be willing to help with that, we would really appreciate it. About 30 of those white chairs. Oh, not the white ones.
The ones in the hallway.
The ones in the hallway, okay.
On the rack.
The ones off the rack. All right, about 30 of those. If we could bring them up, that would be appreciated. Let me pray a minute. Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege that I have of sharing with these folks this morning. God, I don't want this to be about me. God, I want this to be about you. I truly would desire that you would be honored, that you would be glorified, that our hearts would be challenged. God, that we'd be moved to act, that we would be the body of believers that you want us to be. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes let me share a couple of verses first. From Joshua chapter 10, I'm going to just read a couple of verses, beginning with verse 12, and I may not even wait for you to turn there. We're just going to briefly look at this and move on, but it says, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, in this situation, the children of Israel had come into the promised land. They were just taking the land at this point. And it says, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon, over the valley of Aijalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jasher. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. I wonder sometimes I wonder about a lot of things. I wonder about myself, and I wonder why I don't take advantage of all the blessings that God has given. I wonder at my own heart attitude. I wonder at the wickedness of my heart, the pride in my life. Man, I would like to think I'm a good guy, and I certainly want all of you to believe that. But you know, the reality is frequently something less. I have admitted to myself, and now I want to admit it to you, and I have confessed to the Lord, the lack of consistency, the lack of fervency, the lack of taking advantage of the opportunity to go to God in prayer. I'm amazed sometimes. You know, there seem to be so many things that I allow to crowd in on my prayer time. It doesn't seem to take much. And there are many things out there. You know, I think I can understand if there are big things that crowd into my prayer time. But, you know, there are little things that I allow to crowd in and take time away from the Lord. Until my prayer life is hurried, inconsistent, and I snatch 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there to pray, instead of giving God the time that he deserves and I need. What is prayer anyway? What is prayer all about? Let me tell you, in spite of what some are teaching today, prayer is not getting God in a hammerlock to where he has to give me whatever I want whenever I want it. It's not me naming something and claiming something, and then I get God in, and I say, God, I've got faith, and boy, I get God in a hammerlock, and pretty soon God's saying, Uncle, and he gives me what I want. That's not what prayer is, okay? Prayer is simply me talking to God. You, just talking to God. One time when my boys were young, we sat around the table in the morning after breakfast and we would have our prayer time. And I began to notice that it was, I was hearing the same thing all the time. And so I read some scripture and I said, guys, we're not going to pray this morning. And that they kind of break the routine here. I said, we're not going to pray this morning. And they all looked at me. And I said, no, I don't want you to pray. I said, just go ahead and talk to God. And it was silent, just like that. I said, no, go ahead, guys, just talk to God. And it was silent. And I said, listen, if we're going to continue to do this the way we have been, back in the olden days, they had something called a cassette player. Probably none of you are old enough to remember those. But I said, I'm going to get the cassette player out here, and I'm going to record this prayer that we've been doing, and then rather than waste this time every morning, we'll just hit the button, play it back to God, and we'll be all set, right? I wish you could say it was just the boys, but sometimes I find myself doing that. I just get into a routine, and I say my prayers. God, keep me from that. Prayer is talking to God. Listen, prayer is about God. It's not about us. Real prayer focuses on God. I'm going to get away from my notes in a minute anyway, but for right now, I'm going to try to hang with them. Prayer focuses on God. It centers on God. Prayer is about a recognition. Listen, prayer is about a recognition and an acknowledgement in our hearts and minds that God has the power and the authority to do anything And he is so loving, he will do anything that conforms to his plan and is for our good. Okay? Prayer's about us only in that it's a time when we can seek to conform our desires and our purposes to his will. But too often in my life, it becomes a time when I'm trying to get God to conform his purposes and his will to my desires. That's backwards. It just is. I'm not going to share with you this morning a treatise on prayer, okay? What I hope to do is encourage myself as God has been dealing with me on these things, and I trust you as well about our prayer lives as individuals, and listen, our prayer life as a body. Our prayer life as a body. I'm concerned. I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't say this. I'm concerned. We talk about prayer and we pray. But when we have 11 people in prayer meeting and 3 of the 11 are brand new to this church, Larry's been there 3 weeks, I think, in a row. We got a young couple that's coming to prayer meeting. So we got eight regulars that are coming to prayer meeting. Now, I know some of you can't make it. I know that. I don't want to beat on anybody. But I'd like to challenge you. I can remember when we would have 50 people. Am I exaggerating, darling? We'd have 50 people come to pray. We'd pray here in the auditorium. I'll tell you. Well, anyway, let me go on. On your bulletin, you'll notice, and Casey was kind enough to put this on there, it says P-P-P-P prayer. And that's not stuttering, prayer. I'd like to have us think about 4 P's in regard to prayer. Listen, the first P of prayer is the privilege of prayer. We elected a new sheriff last November, and Wayne Kangas retired after many years of service, and we elected a new sheriff, Larry Giroux. Larry will be here Thursday evening, and right after the first of the year, I walked into the jail one morning, and he was in the control center with a group of correction staff, and when he saw me, he left them, and he walked over to me, gave me a hug, and he said, "I just want you to know, if you ever have a problem, you come and see me. My door is always open to you." I thought, wow, that's a privilege, right? If I ever have a problem, do you want me to tell you something? That's nothing. Because I have the privilege and I have the opportunity to step in 1 second into the presence of the living, holy God of this universe. Whew, you talk about a privilege. I think about the Old Testament. I think about, you know, stepping into the presence of God. Once a year, the high priest got to go into the presence of God. After he'd offered certain sacrifices for his own sins and the sins of the people, had to take a bath, put on special clothes, sprinkle the blood ahead of him. I want to tell you, the curtain in the temple has been rent. It parted. And as a child of God, I can step into the presence of God any time. You talk about a privilege. That's a privilege. I told you I'd get away from my notes. I have. I hope I can make sense. But do you know God says in Hebrews 4:16 that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I am constantly in need of God's mercy, and I'm constantly in need of God's grace. It's not just a daily thing. It's a moment-by-moment thing. I need him. Man, I need him. I was praying, I don't know, I think it was a week ago, and I was praying in the morning, and everybody knows I can't sing, okay? But sometimes I sing to the Lord, and you can't hear it. I try to sing low enough that my family can't hear it. But I was thinking about that old hymn, "I Need Thee Every Hour." Oh, Lord, I need thee every hour. And I had a chance that evening. Pastor was taken up with bow hunting or something. I don't know. He was talking to somebody about something anyway. And we had a little break, and I asked Al if we could sing that, and we did. I was so blessed by that. But I want to tell you, I don't have to wait once a year. I can go into the presence of God anytime. Anytime I can enter the presence of God. Yes, Hebrews 4:16 says we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. And prayer isn't some religious exercise. Prayer is the reality of stepping into the presence of the true and living God, omnipotent, sovereign, creator God. How could there ever be a greater privilege? I have prayed that God would grip your hearts with that truth. Let me tell you about a second P of prayer. It's the promise of prayer. Do you know there's two things I love about the promises of God? God's promises are so good. God's promises are good. Do you know that? And the second thing is that God's promises are so sure. Joshua 23:14 says, "For you know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises that the Lord your God has given you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." God keeps his promises. And his promises are good, right? I love that. Now, I know God's promises are typically conditional. You know, we have a promise of eternal life, right? But there's a condition. We have to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But God has made some tremendous promises in regard to prayer. How about Matthew 7:7-8? "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." I wonder if God really meant that, Dave. You think he did? Huh. Promise of God. How about Matthew 21:22? "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Matthew 14:13-14. "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it." John 15:7. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." I love 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And this is the assurance we have. If he hears us, we know we're going to receive that for which we've asked. Now, I know there's conditions. God says, let me tell you the biggest one. The biggest condition is asking. He says, "Ask and you'll receive." He says, "You have not because you ask not." Then he says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your lusts. I'll tell you something. There have been many times I've asked God for things, and I know as I look back, God was just shaking his head and saying, man, you don't even know what you're asking for. I can't give you that. Sarah was about 3 years old, and I took her into Gilroy's, and she'd been turkey hunting with me. She started turkey hunting with me when she was two. She had her own little turkey call, and Abby has hunted with me. I took Sarah in there, and she saw this Remington 870 in a youth model with a pink camo stock, and she said, Papa, get that for me. Oh, Papa, I love that gun. Get me that gun. And I laughed. I said, Sarah, Papa, don't you trust me? She wanted that gun. I want to tell you, I thought, you know, that's so funny. And then God seemed to say to me, do you know how many times you've asked for things that you couldn't handle? You couldn't handle that. All you do is mess up your life, get yourself in trouble. God says, listen, God is good and God answers prayer. Prayer isn't based on some vague wishful thinking, and it's not some mystical genie in the bottle kind of thing. Listen, but it's based on the sure promises of the faithful God that he will hear and answer the prayers of his children. Let me give you a third P of prayer, and it's the power of prayer. Listen, prayer is the most powerful thing that we can do because the omnipotent, that means he's got the power to do anything. Sovereign, that means he has the authority to do anything. Creator God moves and acts in response to prayer. I read these verses from Joshua. Can you imagine this? Joshua prayed, and he didn't just pray, in the closet. It says he prayed in front of everybody. He said, God, fix this thing. And I don't know, but I could just picture God saying, oh, watch this. And he just took the earth and stopped the rotation. And the sun didn't set. And the moon stayed where it was. God, I want to tell you something. That's power. That's power. God moved in response to the prayer of a man. You know, we say, well, you know, Joshua was kind of special, though. God, when I want to tell you, what about Elijah? Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed that it wouldn't rain. Didn't rain. He prayed it wouldn't. It did. I want to tell you something. God will move in response to the prayer of his children when we ask. The power of prayer. Well, the scriptures are filled with examples. Hannah prayed and God opened her womb and gave her a son. Solomon prayed and God not only gave him what he asked for, he gave him what he didn't even ask for. And that was, he gave him wisdom and wealth and fame. Elijah prayed and God sent down fire from heaven. Elisha prayed and God raised the son of a dead Shunammite woman. Hezekiah prayed and God delivered the nation from the Assyrian enemies. Hezekiah prayed and God spared his life for another 15 years. Jehoshaphat prayed and the people prayed and God provided a miraculous deliverance for the nation. The Jerusalem church prayed and God delivered people from jail. Peter from jail, excuse me, not people, and from death. Paul and Silas prayed and God sent an earthquake to get them out of jail. Grove Bible Church prayed and put up a sign and it said, may this site demonstrate that a living God still answers prayer. I want to tell you, Pastor Bob asked us to pray, and we not only prayed on Wednesday night, we just prayed. And we prayed at home, and we prayed together, and we have a prayer meeting in there. It started at 6 o'clock in the morning, and there'd be guys that had to be to work, I don't know, at 7, and they would come, and they'd pray, and they'd be leaving, and somebody else would come and pray, and we prayed till 8, I think. But people prayed. And I want to tell you something. We built that school building over there without going in debt a penny. And God did marvelous, miraculous things. You know why God answers prayer? Because God wants us to know what an awesome God He is. And people prayed, and God began to work. I don't remember all the things that happened. I remember we were looking for a concrete tile you have to ask Laurel Painter, for some kind of a tank or something. And they wanted a whole lot of money for it. And I remember Laurel went to this place, and as he was driving out, he said, well, he went back. He said, what about that thing over there? They said, oh, that's got a hole in it. You can have that. It was just, as I recall, and you'll have to ask Laurel, he can correct me, but I think the hole that had been knocked in that big old tile was just exactly where it needed to be. God, I want to tell you something. We have a mighty God, a powerful God. And the power of God is unleashed when we pray. I think sometimes God just shakes his head and says, man, oh, I'd like to show you what I can do. But you want to try to do it in your own way. You want to try to do it in your own wisdom, your own strength, your own power. And then guess who gets the glory? We do. I think God loves putting us in impossible situations so that he can demonstrate what he can do. Then God's glorified. Then our kids begin to see the reality of God. I pray all the time that my kids, my grandkids would see the reality of God. I pray all the time that my family would come to fear God. I want that. I want my family to fear God. And the fear of God, Pastor was just talking to us about the fear of God. I want to tell you something. The fear of God is not an emotion, it's an attitude. It's an attitude of wonder and awe that this mighty God does these things. Whew, what a God. What a God. Well, I got to see. I got a few minutes left. Prayer isn't some religious exercise. The one who had the power to create everything also has the power to control everything and the wisdom to know what's best. These things are commonly referred to as the providence of God. But the amazing thing is that God's providence, God works, God responds to the prayers of his people. That's awesome. Let me tell you one more. I want to talk to you about the fourth P, the practicality of prayer. We can take everything to him in prayer. In Philippians 4:6, it says by everything in prayer, or in everything by prayer. I don't want to be crude. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I want to tell you how practical God is. Wes Erickson sitting back there. Wes and his family have been a blessing to me many, many times. Let me just tell you one time. I went in the hospital and I had surgery. I don't remember, it was my knee or my shoulder or something they replaced. And I was doing pretty well, except I couldn't go to the bathroom. And the doctor said, when you can go to the bathroom, you can go home. Well, I wanted to go home. And I didn't know what to do. And about 8 o'clock at night, Wes walked into that room. And he shared some scripture, and he's going to pray with me. And I said, Wes, would you pray that I could go to the bathroom? And Wes, you can hear Wes right now laugh a little bit, can't you? I can hear him in my mind. Wes laughed a little bit. He said, I can pray that. Wes prayed that, and he left the room. I'm going to tell you something. I thought I was going to have to call him back and pray I could get things shut off. I want to tell you something. God is practical. Prayer is practical. I'll tell you, one time I was headed for Detroit. I don't remember. I was going to a meeting or something, and I had one of those little Dodge K cars. I had a station wagon. I got down there, and all of a sudden, my goodness, I was just beyond 23 on 96, and all of a sudden, there was a racket coming out from under the hood like you just... It's bad. And I pulled over and stopped, and I put the hood up. And here, that serpentine belt that goes all over the place, about half of it had come loose, and it was just whipping in there, just tearing everything to pieces. And I don't typically carry a pocket knife because they're frowned upon in the jail. And I didn't have my knife. And I thought, well, you know, if I had a pair of fingernail clippers, I could just start clipping and maybe I could get that. I turned that car upside down. I couldn't find anything. And I thought, well, somebody certainly will see me here with the hood up. And I'm telling you, there had to be. I don't want to exaggerate. I'll bet you there was 30 cars a minute going by there. Just, you know, and I stood there and I stood there. And I think I'm going to be late for this meeting. 30 minutes later, I thought, maybe I ought to pray. I said, God, would you send somebody along that would have something so I can cut that off? I can get down the road. I can put a serpentine belt on by myself if I can just get to AutoZone or someplace, you know. I had not said amen, and I heard something, and this guy whipped right in there. He jumped out, he came back, opened his tailgate, or he said, what do you need? I said, if I had a pocket knife, he said, how about a utility knife? Opened his tailgate, was right, grabbed it, handed it to me, cut it off. I'm going to tell you, from the time I started praying, I'm not kidding, it wasn't 2 minutes and I was back on the road. Whew. What a dummy. Prayer is practical. It's the most practical thing we could do. Now, here again, I don't remember all the details. I probably get this messed up. Ask Darlene. Pastor Bob and Darlene were with Rory and Mary Fuller, and it was a situation like Brad and Amber. They didn't have any water. They didn't have any rain. Pastor Bob and Darlene were there, said, we need to pray. They said, well, but you don't understand. It's the dry season. Pastor Bob said, let's pray. You know Pastor Bob. He prayed. And did it rain? God doesn't care if it's the dry season, the wet season. He doesn't care what it is. God is practical in everything by prayer. Listen. In John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ said, and I want to tell you something, my life proves that without him, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And do you know how I go to my insufficiency, from my insufficiency to his all sufficiency? It's called prayer. It's called prayer. Just go and ask. God, I can't handle this thing. You know how practical God is? I'm going to tell you, and I've told you this before, I'm going to tell you again. Listen, God asked me to do things I can't do all the time. I like to ask people, would God ever ask you to do something you can't do? They say, no. I say, yes, all the time. All the time God asks me to do things I can't do. Let me tell you, I praise God for my wife. God gave me a good woman. He certainly knew what I needed. But I want to tell you something. God asked me to love her the way Christ loved the church, and I can't do that. It's not within me. It's not that she's not lovable. It's that I'm not capable of that kind of love. I go to God. And I say, God, would you enable me to love my wife the way you commanded me to? Because I can't do it. I've tried and I fail. God, would you enable me? Then I say, God, I don't know how to raise kids. I don't know how to do it. God, would you enable me to be the dad you want me to be? Would you enable me to be the chaplain you want me to be? God, would you enable me to be the brother in Christ that you want me to be? The member of Grove Bible Church that you want me to be? I want to tell you something. God's practical. And God's going to throw things at you every day just to help you to see how much you need him. We don't get it. Or too often I don't get it. Stand by the side of the road 30 minutes and then pray. Boy, that's not very smart. You know that, right? Why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? Well, I think there's a lot of reasons we don't. One of the reasons I don't pray is because my pride gets involved and there are things I think, well, I can handle this. You know, I know there's things I need God for, but I can handle this. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. One of us is confused. Don, which one do you think is confused? Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you. We don't pray, though. I read a fellow by the name of Manny Will said this. He's a pastor. He said he went to a pastor's conference on prayer. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm going to tell you, if we find a pastor's conference on prayer, I think we ought to send Pastor Brendan. But he said they this was like 3 days or something. They had this, and I'm going to tell you, they talked about prayer. They all this stuff. He said, but we never prayed. They just talked about it. I want to tell you, talking about it's a great thing. But talking about it is nothing compared to doing it. I tell you, if there's anything comes out of this morning, I want to challenge you. I know it's not convenient, but it is worthwhile to pray. Well, I'm getting away from my notes, but I look at the situation in America. I look at where we're at. I think of Vance Havner said one time, the situation is desperate, but the saints are not. The saints, God's children. The situation is desperate, God's children aren't. You know why? Because we're still comfortable. Things are going pretty well. I got food in the refrigerator and heat. It's cool in there when it gets hot. Things are pretty good. I want to tell you, do you think those people in the South deserve those hurricanes more than we did? Boy, you're here in Michigan. We're a pretty godly bunch, you know. We don't have to worry about that stuff. Of course, Jesus had something to say about that too, didn't he? You think you're better than those folks? He said, unless you perish, or unless you repent, you'll all perish. I want to tell you, God's trying to get our attention. God's trying to get our attention. We're not listening. I don't know what God's going to have to do. You remember when we had 9/11? Remember anybody here old enough to remember 9/11? People prayed. There was actually people came to the church and prayed. We even had special prayer meetings. Well, that lasted for a week or two, and then, you know, just not convenient. Because we only can do things that are convenient and easy. You know one reason I don't pray? Because it's more convenient to stay in bed. Easier to stay in bed than it is to get up and pray, right? Sometimes I make myself sick. I do. I want to tell you, I was thinking about this message, and I thought, boy, you know, you're going to preach that. You better live it. God, help me to live it. Let me just, I got to quit, but I want to share something with you. This, John MacArthur said this in his book, Alone with God. Because ours is such a free and prosperous society, it's easier for Christians to feel secure by presuming upon instead of depending upon God's grace. Too many believers become satisfied with physical blessings and have little desire for spiritual blessings. Having become so dependent on their physical resources, they feel little need for spiritual resources. When programs, methods, and money produce results, there is an inclination to confuse human success with divine blessing. Christians can actually behave like practical atheists, living as if God were not necessary. When that happens, passionate longing for God and yearning for his help will be missing, along with his empowerment. Because of this great and common danger, Paul urged believers to pray at all times and to devote yourselves to prayer. Continual, persistent, incessant prayer is an essential part of Christian living and flows out of the recognition of our dependence upon God. I don't know. Sometimes I read things, and or especially if somebody reads something to me, I don't get it. I have to read it 3 or 4 times. That's good. That's good. I hope you got it. I got to quit. Let me just have 2 minutes. I've lived a long time, and I've seen God work, and I've seen God do things, and I'm hungry to see God do things. I want to, I've said this before, but listen, I am so sick of seeing what people can do, what we can do. I want to see what God will do. I want to see revival. Man, I love reading about the revivals of the past. The first great awakening, the second great awakening. I love reading that stuff. I want to see it. I want to tell you, we need it. We need it in America. We need revival. I want to see the convicting power of God sweep upon our nation and people getting saved and people repenting. People saying, it's stupid, these laws we've been passing that are contrary to the laws of God concerning marriage and murdering our babies and all that junk we do. I want to tell you something. There's no political solution to what ails us. I don't care who you elect, it's not going to make a difference. It's only as we, God's people, begin to get serious about going to God. I want to tell you, you want to see God do something special? It's going to take special prayer. I don't have time to finish everything that's in my heart, but it's just burning. How many of you have heard of Count Zinzendorf? Well, there's a name from the past. Count Zinzendorf, a German. I don't have time to go into the whole thing, but he had some people come onto his land, and they were refugees, and pretty soon he's got so many refugees he doesn't know what to do with them. Old Count Zinzendorf gave up his, I don't know what you call it, a counthood or whatever it was, and he just became a preacher. And he did something that was amazing. There were 24 people, 12 men and 12 women, said, let's start a prayer meeting. And one of them would pray from midnight to 1 o'clock in the morning, and somebody else from 1 till 2, 2 till 3, 3 till 4, around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that prayer meeting went on for over 100 years. Now, it wasn't the same 24 people. I just want you to know that. But I want to tell you, pretty soon there was other people taking over, and there's other people joined them. And they sent out missionaries around the world, knowing that they would die and never come home and never see their families again. You know, looking at it from the perspective of today, do you know that they believe that was instrumental in the way the Reformation expanded through Europe? Do you know that that played a part in the first great and the second great awakening? Those people prayed. I just wonder. I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would happen if we had 50 people that would come to prayer meeting. You know what we'd rather do? We'd rather work than pray. Don't hear me talking about our board. I love these men, and they're good men. I'm going to tell you, the average church in America will spend 3 minutes in prayer for a 3-hour board meeting. There's something mixed up. I wonder what God would do if we had 50 people that would come and pray. Well, I can't pray in front of people. I don't, you know, because my words aren't very flowery, and I can't hang it. God don't care. He doesn't care about flowery words. He just wants us to come and talk to him. He wants us to be desperate and say, God, we need you. We want to see something happen. We'd like to see souls saved. We'd like to see revival. I wonder if we had 50 people that consistently prayed what God would do. I wonder, let me tell you something else I'm wondering. I wonder if we had a community that got together and prayed. I wonder what God would do. What if we had 100 people from this community, 150 people from this community that got together and prayed and said, God, would you send revival? Would you revive us right here in our pews? Get us to deal with our sin. And then, God, would you revive this community? God, we want to see what you can do. We're sick of, you know what? I am not opposed to trunk or treat or the Halloween thing or the Easter thing or anything we do. I think we need to do those things. But I think if we had a lot of just fervent, plain old prayer about it ahead of time, we'd accomplish 10 times as much. All right, I ranted and raved and... I want to say I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I'm not. God just burdens my heart, challenges my heart with these things. Father God, God, forgive me for all the times when I found it inconvenient to pray, or my pride got in the way, or a thousand other things. God, stir our hearts to pray. Father, oh Father, work in our midst. Father, there's souls all around us headed for hell. They don't know you. God, enable us. Give us compassion for our fellow man. God, thank you for what's been done for Larry. But God, that compassion ought to go way beyond just helping to provide for his physical needs. God, may we have that kind of compassion for those in spiritual need all around us. God, for our community, our country. God, help us, I pray. God, help us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.